Amen. Thank you, David. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Psalms, please. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be. Psalm 23. And doing a message specifically about thankfulness. I'll be honest with you as you're turning over there. I kind of struggle with what to preach this morning, truthfully. There are a lot of passages that deal with thankfulness, right? And so I thought about and actually prepared a whole sermon on the idea of where are the other nine? Why are we not thankful for what God's done? Did some other things as well, but settled right here on Psalm 23. And the title, of course, as you can see on the slide, is Thankful Sheep. And that's really what we are, right? Amen. We're sheep. God has already defined us as that. And Psalm 23 might not be your first choice for a message dealing with thankfulness, but it certainly is very applicable as we look at it. Let's stand if we can, out of respect for the Word of God, and to give your feet a little bit of a stretch. Psalm 23, and we'll read through this passage, beginning with verse number 1. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we jump into the passage this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are thankful, Lord. We are thankful for you being our shepherd. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to meet and to gather. And Lord, just as Esther said this morning, Lord, for this church and for you, Lord, truly we are thankful. And Lord, you have been so good to us. Lord, I pray that as we open your word, as we look at this passage, Lord, and look at some of the areas where we truly should be thankful, some of the things that you provide us, your flock, Lord, I pray that you would stir within us a desire, Lord, to have a greater relationship with you, a greater walk with you, Lord, to follow you more. Lord, strengthen us, help us in these things, we pray. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've mentioned before, but when I was a teenager, I had the privilege of working on a sheep farm. And I've given illustrations about that before. But one thing that I found very quickly is that sheep need a shepherd. Right when I, when Mr. Straub, his name was, called me and said, John, I want you to take care of the farm for a week. I figured that would be the easiest thing in the world. He was going to go out for vacation. I thought it would be so simple. And so I decided, yeah, sure, I can do that, Brother Straub. I'd be glad to. But I found pretty quickly, sheep need shepherds. Can I say, folks, we are sheep. God's word is very clear about that. We are his flock. The Bible describes the Christian as a lamb as opposed to goats. We are the flock of God. And friends, we need a shepherd. Praise the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. But we need a shepherd. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to, nice and simply from this passage, give some things we should be thankful for from God's word based on Psalm 23. We need to be thankful sheep. We need to be lambs of God that are thankful for what God's done. Number one, I see in this passage, we need to be thankful because God knows us. Look at verse number one, can we? The Lord is, what are the next two words?
My
shepherd. Say it together nice and strong. The Lord is
my
shepherd. Nice and clearly, folks, God knows you. Now, this is written from the perspective of the sheep. But can I say, the sheep is not the one that's in control of the relationship. Who is? God is. The shepherd is, right? The shepherd is in control of the sheep. The shepherd is the one that called the sheep. The shepherd is the one that bought the sheep. The sheep are his. And praise the Lord, friend. We are God's if you're his child.
Amen.
He knows you. Number one, the Lord knows our nature. If you have your handout, you have it in Isaiah 53. If you don't have a handout with you, Isaiah 53:6 says this. Talking about God's sacrifice, talking about what Christ has done for us, Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible is very clear here. He's giving a comparison contrast between us as sheep and Jesus, the great Lamb of God, that as a sheep before his shears was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus died for us because we go astray. Can I remind you, friends, that God knows your nature, but he loves you anyway?
That's right.
Yeah. He knows who you are, but yet he still loves you. If you think about that a little bit, it kind of boggles the mind, doesn't it? The reality that God loves you even though you are unlovable.
Amen.
Isn't that true, friends? Listen, folks. God didn't have to give us anything.
Right.
You all with me here? Did he?
Amen.
God didn't have to give us a thing. But yet he gave us everything. While we were still sinners, Christ dies for us.
Amen.
Christ loves us. We go astray. Number two I see in Isaiah 53:6, we lead others astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. You know what sheep do? Sheep are very good at leading other sheep the wrong way. I read a story over in Wales. Wales is the number one provider of lamb, wool, things along that line. Over in Wales, one sheep led 400 other sheep to their deaths by walking off a cliff. You know what happened? The sheep went and he thought he could jump over the area, and so he, as kind of the alpha sheep, I guess you could say, I don't know if that's a term, but we're coining it today. He decided that he was going to try and jump off, and 400, that entire flock, decided to follow that one sheep off the cliff. Can I say, friends, We as individuals, sometimes we lead people astray, don't we?
Amen.
But can I say, God loves us anyways.
Amen.
He wanted you in his flock. He wanted you. He knows you. He knows your nature, but yet he loves you.
Amen.
He loved you with an undying love when, frankly, you didn't deserve an undying love.
Amen.
We just go astray. We lead others astray. But he wants us anyways. He laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. God knows our nature, but he loves us anyways. Friend, if I stopped right there, I'm not going to, okay? But if I stopped right there, that would be enough to thank God for it.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
If we stop right there at point number one, he knows my nature, but he loves me anyway. That would be enough to thank God for Thanksgiving and all throughout this next year. Y'all with me here? But can I say, is that where it ends?
No.
Not in the slightest. God knows my nature. Number two, God knows my needs. Look at verse number one again. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the last phrase? I shall not want. You know what that means, nice and simply? That idea, I shall not want, means there's nothing that I could possibly want, desire, or need that the shepherd is not already about. Let me explain. I've given the illustration of George the sheep before, but I'll give it again for sake of, since we're talking about sheep. I used to work on a farm, like you guys know. We were talking about that earlier, actually, Jim and Pat. And I used to work on a farm, and I worked on this sheep farm. Well, we had this sheep that we named George. We named him George because, no offense to anyone here that might be named George, but he just looked like a George. You know what I mean? He was just kind of like, you know, he had the weirdest, like, bah, you know? He was like, mack, you know, like just annoying bah. And he never wanted whatever we gave him. We'd go and we'd get him out to this nice pasture. You know, I grew up in Indiana. He grew up out the field. So that, I mean, this is good hay, you know. So we'd get him out to this nice pasture and he'd be, all the other sheep would be contented in the middle of this pasture. But what did George want? We had these electric fences. And this electric fence, with sheep, you can't put an electric fence too low because the wool actually, it won't shock them. So it's kind of right around head level. So it's got like a few of these. This George would go and he'd go to the very edge of the fence. Let's say this is the electric fence. And he would stick his head through the electric fence to try and eat the grass on the other side. Now, can I say, you had a whole field, 3 acres, 4 or 5 acres, all devoted to perfect alfalfa for the lamb. But what did this sheep want? He wanted the grass on the other side. He wanted the nasty, disgusting, scraggly grass. Can I say, this is kind of the opposite of what we're talking about here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what he's saying, nice and simply? God knows my needs, so there's nothing I could possibly need that God would not provide.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
You know what we do sometimes on Thanksgiving? We sometimes are so materialistic that we get this idea that, well, okay, let me think. Let me really try and think of what God's done for me. Can I say, God has done a lot for you.
That's right.
Y'all with me here?
Amen.
God's done a lot for you. I know some of you have lost things this year. I get that. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have lost family members. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have lost... We have people that struggle. Right?
Amen.
But can I say, can I remind you that the Lord is your shepherd so you don't need to want?
That's right.
He knows your needs.
That's
He's taking care of your needs. So be thankful to the shepherd and don't be complaining against the shepherd.
Amen.
Be thankful for where you're at and don't be, oh, if I was only over here, then life would be good. If I could just get out of the fence, then things would be okay. No. God's the shepherd. He knows your needs. I shall not want. Number one, God knows our nature. Number two, God knows our need. Number three, God knows our name. This is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. John 10 in verse number 3. It says this, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. We had, for example, George. We had lots of different sheep. I don't remember all their names now. But we had different ones that had different nature, different personalities, but the shepherd knew every one of them. He knew how to handle them. He knew how to react to them. He knew what they needed. He knew what kind of medicine they needed. He knew what kind of struggles they had. And can I remind you, friends, that God knows you. He knows what you go through. He knows what you battle. He knows every difficulty you've faced. He knows you. He is your shepherd. And you don't need to want. You don't need to worry. He knows your name. He knows who you are.
Amen.
Can I say, friends, when things get tough, when things get difficult, when things get to be a struggle, remember that He knows your name.
Yes,
He knows who you are. Amen. He knows what you're going through. And He loves you. He is the good shepherd. Number one. Thankful sheep. We should be thankful because God knows us and He loves us anyways. Number two, we should be thankful because God provides us things. Look at verse number two. There are four things that are described here. We'll kind of break them up into three, but four things that are described here in this passage. Look at verse number two. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We'll get to that in a second. Number two, He leadeth me beside the still waters. We'll combine those two together. Number three, He restoreth my soul. And number four, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let's break this down. The shepherd has to do a few things for his sheep. Number one, in this verse, it says that He calms the sheep. Do you see it there? Verse number two, He maketh me, catch that, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, lying down in green pastures is not a natural thing for sheep. If you've ever seen a flock of sheep, generally, They're nervous. They're very nervous animals. They're very giddy animals. Right? You'll see them and they're kind of, right? You walk up and they're like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? Right? They get scared of everything. They get scared of shadows. We'll see that in just a little bit. They get scared of all these things that most animals would not be scared of. Right? So, what it says here in verse number 2 is not that he leads me in green pastures. No. What does it say? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, there are two ways that you could force a sheep to lie down. Okay? I'm not going to use anyone as an illustration today, so don't worry, okay? At least not right now. Okay? You could first grab the sheep and try to force it to actually lie down. You could pick it up and, you know, body slam the sheep. And you could do that, okay, if you're a fairly, you know, decently muscular person. But I don't think that's what this is describing. Number two, if you want to make a sheep lie down, is you calm them. You go and you take away all of the different burdens and struggles so that they finally rest. Three things that I've found that you need to calm, that are needed to calm a sheep. Number one, you remove any food needs. Can I say God has done that for us? I'm not talking food, okay? Obviously, we're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner pretty soon, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? But I'm not talking about that. God's Word is our food. Right? God's Word is provided for us. He has given us everything we need. His Word is everything we need. He provides for us. Can I say, friends, if you're not calm, if you're agitated, worried, concerned, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Number one, go to the Lord and find the food, the sustenance that's needed. Amen. A lot of times, by the way, I'm not diminishing depression or anything like that. I've talked about that before in messages and things along that line. I'm not diminishing any of that stuff. I understand sometimes people struggle with different physical issues. But what I am saying is this. Most of the time, our worry isn't caused by a physical issue. It's caused by a spiritual issue.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, our worry is caused because we don't trust the shepherd.
Right.
When the day is done, we put it into our hands. But God is trying to make us lie down in the green pastures. Can I say, where you're at is good.
Amen.
God has provided for you where you're at.
Amen.
No matter how bad things seem, God has provided green pastures where you're at. Calm yourself. Remove the food needs. Focus on the Word. Focus on what God has given, not what you want to get.
Right.
And God will calm you. Number two, you have to remove the food needs. Number two, you have to remove the fears. If I took you into the Strout family farm flock, okay, and I led one of you into the Strout family farm flock, the sheep would not be relaxed. Why? Because they're afraid of you. They don't know you. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you're there for. But the shepherd is there and he removes those fears. Why? Because the sheep trust the shepherd. I was talking to somebody just a week or two ago and they were going through some struggles. And they were worried about him. And I told this person, I said, you have to trust God through it.
Amen.
Can I say, friends, the opposite of fear is trust. If you're fearing, then that means you're not trusting. If you're worrying, then that means you're not trusting the shepherd where he's at. Friends, God wants to make you lie down in green pastures. God wants to lead you beside still waters. He wants to calm your soul. But you have to trust him. You have to trust him. Number three, you have to remove the fighting. Sheep are especially, how do you say it? They like to argue with each other. If we personified a sheep, okay, especially during certain times, during rutting season and things along that line, sheep like to fight. The first time I ever worked at Strout Farms, first time I ever worked there, I walked out into the field and one of the rams came from behind. Have you ever gotten hit by a ram before? Anybody? Anybody in here ever gotten hit by a ram? Oh, that's fun, isn't it? Yeah. He ran at me. It's always from behind, right? Like, they have this, like, stealth mode or something. I don't know. But I'm walking along and he's kind of showing me what he does and all this stuff. I think I was going to stacks and hay or something. I'm going through and all of a sudden this ram just slams me in my backside. I go and I'm just a little scrawny little high schooler, right? And I go falling over and this thing's like bashing on me. And he like grabs it by the horn and pulls it over. Why? Because sheep like to fight. Can I say, do you see that in yourself sometimes? Right? We love to have disagreements with people, don't we? We do! I have a good pastor friend and he told me, man, pastoring would be great if there weren't any people involved. Why? Because the reality is, friends, we like to fight. But can I say, you will never be resting in the green pastures if you're fighting with the other sheep. Does that make sense? If the sheep's running around and bashing heads with other sheep, then you are never going to be resting where the shepherd wants you to rest. Nice and simply, folks, some things are not worth fighting about. Just forget it. Move on. Get freedom. You all with me here?
Amen.
Get freedom. Listen, friends, the shepherd is providing everything you need. So no matter what someone has done to you in the past, it's not worth arguing over. We're a flock together. Right?
Amen.
We work together. So calm yourselves and just trust the shepherd. He provides us calm. Number two in this passage. He provides us comfort. Verse number three. He restoreth my soul. The picture here is of a lamb that has been out in the heat too long. A lamb that's been out in the heat too long, he goes and he gets a long, thick coat. If the coat's not trimmed, that lamb will die by overheating in the heat. Nice and simply, friends, God restores us. He comforts us. He provides for us just what we need, just when we need it. Have you found that to be true in your life? You're going through a problem. You're going through a difficulty. What does God do? He gives you just the comfort you need in that time of difficulty. You know, sometimes we go and we worry about tomorrow. We worry about what the future might hold. But can I remind you, friends, God provides enough comfort for every single day. His mercies are new every morning, just like we sang this morning. Great is His faithfulness. Every day, God provides you the comfort you need for that day. He gives the trimmings that you need. He trims off that extra layer of growth. He goes and He provides comfort. He restores our soul. Praise the Lord for that. Number three, He provides me a clear course. Look at it, verse number three. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God has directed us in what we need to do and what is best for our lives. Can I say, friends, if you don't know where to go, if you don't know what to do in your life, it's not God's fault. Can I say that again for y'all? If you don't know where to go or what to do, it's not God's fault. God has provided direction and everything we need for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 says. So what do we have to do? We follow the shepherd.
Amen.
What does following the shepherd mean? That means staying close to Him, and every time He takes a step, you take a step. What is God's will? Nice and simply, God's will is for you to do what you know to do today. That's God's will. I talk to a lot of people over the years, and they say, well, I don't know, preacher, what God's will is. You know what? We think of God's will as 5 years from now.
Sure.
Right? 10 years from now. Where am I supposed to be 10 years from now? Forget about that. God's will for you is to do what you know you need to do today. What does God say to do today?
Amen.
Then do that. Does that make sense?
Amen.
What does God say not to do today? Don't do that.
Right.
You with me here?
Mm-hmm.
Follow the shepherd, and 5 years from now, if you continue to follow Him, then guess what? You're in God's will. Because you've been following the shepherd. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Nice and simply, friends, God provides you the course. He leads you in the way of righteousness for His name's sake. He directs you exactly where you need to go to stay on the right path. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for that. That's not walls that close us in. No. That's direction that leads us forward.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God provides for us. Number one, He knows us. Number two, He provides for us. Number three, and finally, He helps us. Look at verse number four, can we? Verse number four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That word yea has the idea of, yeah, even all the stuff so far has been pretty good, right? Verses 1 through 3. Right? Look back at verses 1 through 3, can we? Let's get kind of the idea of this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, everything's great, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, that sounds wonderful. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? He restores my soul. Yes, He gives us the comfort that He needs. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But then verse 4 happens. Right?
Amen.
Look at it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Can I say, friends, yes, God is good and we should be thankful when things are going well. Shouldn't we?
Amen.
Shouldn't we?
Amen.
Yes, we should be thankful when things are going well. We should be thankful that God knows us. We should be thankful that God provides for us. But can I say, friends, we can be equally thankful when things don't seem to be going so well. Even in death, we can be thankful sheep. Why? Because God is with us. The reality of death is that it's just a valley. What's a valley? A valley is something between two hills, right?
Amen.
You have a hill and you have a mountain. You have another hill and a mountain. And you have a valley. Nice and simply, friends, the valley of the shadow of death. One day, John Utley will face death. That's just reality.
That's right.
Right? As is the true with all of us, right? Unless the Lord comes back first, one day we will all face death.
That's right.
When that happens, even in the toughest, the roughest thing you could possibly imagine, what is it? It's just a valley, and God's still with us.
Amen.
Go with me here?
That's right.
What's a valley? You go through it, and you move on to the next mountaintop. Can I say, friend, God helps us even in death. He's there. He's there.
That's right.
He's there. Praise the Lord for that. He helps us. He's there for us. Number one, He's there even in death. The reality of death. That it's just a valley. Number two, that it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Nice and simply, let me use this as an illustration, okay? Can I? I have the hymn book, right? The lights are shining on this. And this hymn book is creating a little bit of a shadow. We got lights from two sides, but this is creating a shadow, right? Now, is this the hymn book? Yes or no?
No.
No. What is it?
It's a shadow.
Sheep, I already told you earlier, sheep are very skittish. They don't have good eyesight at all. So if they see a shadow of something, they'll be frightened by it. You might remember this a little bit with kids, right? Esther's in this age now where she gets scared of things all the time. Right? We have to have like 85 night lights in her room. Right? Like we turn off the light and it's actually brighter than when the light was on. Right? So we have a bunch of night lights in her room and she always gets scared. I've already told you, she doesn't like cleaning her room. Right? So there's always a bunch of weird shadows on the walls. From piles of clothes and piles of dolls and Barbies and all that stuff, right? So she'll go and she's like, Daddy, I know there's a monster. I know there is. And I said, there's not a monster. Yes, there is a monster. And so I come upstairs again. I come upstairs and I look and I'm like, no, see, it's just a shadow. And she's like, oh. Right? Why? Because the shadow's not scary, is it?
That's right.
No, the shadow's not scary. The shadow can't hurt you. Can I say, friends, if you're a part of God's flock, if you're a child, by the way, not everyone is God's child.
True.
You've already said that, right? God loves us, but we have to receive Him.
Yeah.
Right? That's not so much in this sheep metaphor, but nice and simply, God sent His Son as the Lamb of God to die for us as lambs. He took the punishment for us. We have to receive Him in order to be saved. Does that make sense?
Amen.
But if we receive Him, Believe and receive. That's all salvation is. If you believe and you receive Christ, you are now His child. And can I say, if you're part of God's family, even the shadow of death is nothing to you. It's just a valley that you pass through. It's just a shadow that can't hurt you. Nice and simply, friends, even in death, Christ helps us. Why? Because He's there with us.
Amen.
Did you see it there in verse number 4? Did you see it? Look at it, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Nice and simply, friends, here's what He's saying. He's saying, I don't have any fear. Even in death, there is no fear because the shepherd is there. He never left. He never went away. He's right there with us. He's the one that gives His life for the sheep. He's the one that cares for the sheep. He's the one that will never, ever leave the sheep. Even in death, God is there. Number 2, even in danger, God's there. Verse number 4, the second part. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Up on, in my office, I have a shepherd's staff, shepherd's crook. And that staff would be used if the sheep was in danger. If the sheep was somehow in danger, if he was going to jump off a cliff like my illustration earlier, if he was going to get hurt by some kind of animal or something like that, the shepherd would grab that sheep and pull him to safety with that crook. That rod is that rod that would fight off the animals, that would protect from the wolves and the bears and the lions and those different things. Nice and simply, friends, even in danger, God does what? Verse number 5. Thou preparest a what? Table before me in the presence of what? My enemies. Can you picture, if you will, the idea here? The shepherd is there and he has all of his sheep. And the wolves are gathered on the sides. You have the woods kind of gathered around this green pasture. And the wolves and the coyotes and the bears are sitting out there looking at the sheep. And what's the shepherd doing? Sheep don't have to worry, right? He's preparing a bounty before these sheep. He's taking care of their every need. He's giving them everything that they need. They don't have to worry. Even in the presence of his enemies, the sheep can have comfort.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that a great picture?
Amen.
That's us, friend. That's us. In the enemies that we face, in the difficulties, the burden, God is preparing a bounty for us. I got the table set up last night for the meal today. I guarantee you, if there was some kind of person that was trying to kill me, I would not be getting the tables ready. I guarantee you, if we said, hey guys, we're going to have the dinner afterward, but let me just let you know, there's someone down there that wants to kill all of us, okay? So, you know, go ahead, help yourselves. By the way, that's not going to happen. But help yourselves, grab whatever food you want, everything will be okay, there's just a guy that wants to kill us downstairs. Can I say, none of us would go to that meal.
That's right.
Right? But can I remind you that we live in a hostile world, but yet God is always with us.
Amen.
He is there for us, and even in the midst of a hostile world that hates us, that wants to be against us, God is preparing a bountiful feast for us.
Amen.
He prepares a table before us. He pours out blessings, verse 5 said. He anoints the head with oil. Sheep have problems with their ears. If you don't regularly clean it with oil, the sheep will have ear infections and various things that will eventually kill the sheep. They have different bugs that lodge inside the ears. The idea here is that they pour out this oil upon the sheep and its cup runs over. There's so much blessings that God is giving the sheep that He's saying, it's not even enough. If you had a cup to hold it all, you'd never be able to hold it all. Even in the problems, friends, we have things to thank God for.
Amen.
He has been so good to us. He has met every need we face. He's taking care of every danger we can possibly face. Even in the distant, unknown future, God is still good and we can still thank Him. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's He saying? There's distant things that we don't know in this life, aren't there?
Yep.
Do you know what's going to happen in 2020?
No.
Not one of us do. There might be some people that are faced with cancer. There might be some people that are faced with job layoffs. There might be some people that are faced with various different sicknesses. Yet we don't know what's going to happen in 2020, do we? We don't. But you know what we do know? Look at it, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? And I will dwell in where? The house of the Lord forever. Can I say, friends, no matter what 2020 happens, no matter what 2019 happens, right? But going beyond, we can be thankful when the day is done. This is the point. Hold off on packing up for just a second, okay? Everyone's like, boom! All right. Time out. You'll have time. Okay? We can be thankful and we can be grateful. Why? Because God's with us.
Amen.
Isn't that the point of Psalm 23? Look at it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nice and simply, friends, what is the number one greatest thing we can, should, and could be thankful for? That God is with us.
Amen.
He's there. We don't have to face the problems and difficulties all by ourselves. God's there.
Amen.
We don't have to face the problems. We don't have to provide for ourselves because God's already providing. We don't have to worry about the future because God's already there.
Right.
We're going to be in His house. If we don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Death. Oh, I don't know. Oh, the dangers. Oh, I'm not sure. No. God is there. He's always with you. His rod and staff comfort you. He prepares the table before you. Listen, friends, God is there. So nice and simply, we can go into a Thanksgiving and we can be thankful no matter what 2019 had and no matter what 2020 will have. We can be thankful because God is our shepherd.
Amen.
God's our shepherd. So here's the point. Here's the application. You say, Pastor, I get all that. But here's the question. What kind of sheep are you? Let's go back to you taking care of the sheep. You have a bunch of sheep and they're relaxing. Sitting in the green pastures, they're enjoying eating all the alfalfa. And you have George over here. Right? George is getting zapped by the fence. And George is always wanting to provide for himself instead of trusting us. George is always wanting to stray away from the flock. He never wants to be in a place of protection. You know what eventually happened to George? I asked Brother Strap one time. You know what eventually happened to George? He got ate by a coyote. You know why? Because he wouldn't be with the rest of the flock. He didn't care about the flock. Can I say, friends, nice and simply, we are God's sheep.
Amen.
God is our shepherd.
Yes.
So nice and simply, what do we have to do? We have to get close to the shepherd. Be where God wants you to be. Listen, you made a good choice. You're in church today. That's a good start. Be where God wants you to be. Be serving Him. Be about Him. Be thankful for what He's done for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Instruments can please come. Josh, if you can, please come. That'd be great. Thank you. It's a time of invitation. Invitation is simply a time for you to make a decision based on what you've heard. It's not anything mystical, magical, anything like that, but God's word is very, very clear. If we go our way and don't change our hearts, aren't willing to change, then God says we're foolish and we deceive ourselves. So I have a few simple questions for you. Number one, are you part of God's flock? Have you received the shepherd? I'm not asking, are you a good person? I'm not asking, have you gone to church? I'm not asking, are you baptized? All those things are good, fine things, but they don't put you into God's family. Only receiving Christ does. As many as received Him, to them gave power to become sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. Listen, friend, have you received Jesus? Are you God's child? You say, Pastor, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am sure I'm God's child. I know I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand nice and high? I know I'm saved. I know it. I'm sure of it. Good, thank you. You can put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, I really do appreciate your honesty. I really honestly do. Here's the question. Head bowed. Thanks, Josh. Here's the question. Say, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to be sure. I want to know. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't do that here, okay? I'm not into that. I don't think there's any reason to do that. But here's what I want you to do. If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Number one, we're going to have a meal in just a little bit. I want you to come and I want you to say, hey, Pastor, I don't know I'm saved. I'm not sure. And I would love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. I'm just going to take a Bible and just show what the Bible says. But I want to be able to catch you and I want to be able to talk to you after, okay? So if I don't know to talk to you, then, you know, there's no way to know. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around but me. You say, Pastor, you know, I'd like to talk to you. I'm just not sure. I got some questions. Pastor, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to know for sure. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to know. Anyone like that at all? Pastor, I'm not sure. I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to know. Good, thank you. Second question is this, friends. By your own testimony, you're either part of God's family or you're not, and you don't want to do anything about that. So, if you're part of God's family, if you're part of God's flock, then here's the question I have for you. Are you being a thankful sheep? Are you being thankful and submissive and close to the shepherd? Can I say, friends, God has been so good to us. But you know what we do a lot of times? We act like George, don't we? We go away and we want to get the nastiness of this world and we want to try and kind of have it both ways. We want to be protected by the shepherd, but we don't really want to be that close to him. And I say, friends, God's word is clear. Be thankful. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Get close to him. He is everything. He is with us. You say, Pastor, and something you said challenged my heart. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. If that's you, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Good. Thank you. Several hands. Good. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. You know the hearts. You know what's going on in each situation and circumstance. Father, in the difficulties, the burdens, and the struggles, Father, help us to be a thankful people. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to stay close to you. In the midst of all the problems, Father, I pray that you would give us strength and help, Lord, to be sheep that are thankful for what you've done. Bless this invitation. Work in each heart and each life. Be with those that raise their hands. And Lord, I pray that you'd work specifically in the situations that you addressed in their heart. Lord, strengthen and help us all to be what you've called us to be for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.